But
unless we all should still invest in them and wear them.
So we all go through hard times in our lives. And even through those times that are very hard, or we think they're very hard, there can always be found a place in our life where everything's okay. So I want you to think about, where is that place? It's not a physical place either, so I'll give you that. So these places are places and circumstances in our life. This is when spiritual growth begins to take place through these challenges in our life. So the one place, and we know this, but we don't always recognize it in our life, but the one place where the joy of the Lord can always be found is through prayer. And that's probably a lot of times. So how often do we pray? Do you ever stop and think at the end of the day, how often did I pray to the Lord? You know, I prayed when I got up this morning. I pray when I go to bed at night. But what about throughout the day? How often do we communicate with the Lord? So prayer is something that should never be neglected in our life as a believer. And it might be one of the most things that we neglect the most, because a lot of times we just don't think about it until something begins to happen in our life. So through prayer, there's many things that we can find in our life through prayer. So we can find a peace. The Bible said a peace that passes all understanding. We can find that through prayer. We can find rest for our weary souls. We could just name Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse is what prayer does for us in our life. But when we fail to pray, then what happens? When we fail to pray, we begin to fall short of the glory of God. So what does that mean? We begin to fall short. We begin to distance ourselves a little bit from what God has for us in our life. So we know that when we pray, that the more that we pray, the more we want to pray, because we see God working in our life as we begin to communicate more with Him. But one reason is that we don't always, maybe we say, oh, we forget to pray, or we didn't pray, or it requires a lot of discipline. Prayer requires a lot of discipline in our life, and in order for it to require discipline, then that means it requires obedience. We have to be obedient to the Word of God, and it requires perseverance. If you read the times in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when Christ prayed, it required a lot of perseverance. So this is one of the things that we learn. So we've got to understand that, like myself and like most of us, prayer's not just for when we're in a time of need. Prayer is our communication with God, and it should be one of the greatest consistencies that we have going on throughout our day. It should be prayer, so that means we should be making it a priority in our life. So this means that we should pray. The Bible says we should pray fervently, and we should pray frequently. So as you think about your life and your life in Christ and how often you pray, we really shouldn't have to say, well, I pray here, 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 and there, because it should be a continuous communication with God. Our prayer life should be. So in the book of 1 Thessalonians, let's go over there for just a moment. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And this is really familiar. Some of these scriptures are going to be really familiar. But in 16, it says, rejoice evermore. In 17, it says, pray without what? Ceasing. Without ceasing. And he says, in everything, give thanks, because this is what? This is the will of God that comes through Christ Jesus concerning us as individuals, concerning us. So God's will is that we pray without ceasing. God's will is that we talk to Him all the time in our life when we're going throughout our day. So this is how this works, because a lot of people say, well, I just can't get down on my knees the whole day long and pray. Well, you could if you had the time to do it. But so what it is our prayer life, and we're going to see the three things here: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So our prayer life is rooted and grounded by the Holy Spirit. And we'll read one of those verses after a while, but we have to have the Holy Spirit in order to know what to pray. So it's rooted and grounded in the Holy Spirit, and our identity, that comes through our identity, our salvation. That's our identity to be able to do this, which all of this means this is our relationship with God. This is a relationship we have with God that can only come through who? Christ Jesus our Lord. He was crucified, He was resurrected. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it takes all three to be in communication with God. All three of them. So they all three have a part. So there, we have to maintain this ongoing communication. So how do we maintain it? First of all, we have to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us all the time. Second of all, we have to have that closeness of a relationship that God wants us to have with Him. And thirdly, Christ plays the biggest part, because the Word of God that we have is Christ Himself. And that is how our communication works. So we must keep all of this in the center of our thoughts. So that means when anything else is rolling around up there in your head, then God's not the center of your thought. I was thinking about this last night, because I woke up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock and couldn't go back to bed. And all these things were going around and around and around in my head. And I'm thinking, no wonder I can't go to sleep, because there's too much of the world going around up there. But so this has to be the center, not just of our thoughts, but our actions. And not only our actions, but you know, our prayer life has a lot to do with how we react to things that happen in our life. So that means when something is going on in your life, something that is challenging, and your worldly emotions begin to take over, it's our prayer life that helps us in those reactions of how we see those things. It could be, you know, we could get rid of the anger, we could get rid of the anxiousness, we could get rid of all these other worldly emotions that we're feeling if we go to the Lord in prayer and let Him help with that in our life. So our prayer life, it is, I'm not going to say it should be or it must be, but it is, it's a continuous and it's a steadfast, it's part of our attitude that has to do with our unwavering faith and our trust in God. Now, we talked about that a little bit Wednesday night in Bible study. How much do we trust in God? And a lot of that has to do with how much are we in communication with God? How is our prayer life with God? So in the book of James chapter 5, verse 16, let's go there for just a second. James chapter 5, verse 16. And here's what he says. He says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that ye may be healed. And here's what he says. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I mean, it carries a lot of weight. But it has to be, it says the effectual, fervent prayer. So do you know that when you pray, it's, and whether it's about needs or wants or whatever the case may be, but anytime that you open up a prayer and you begin talking to God, you are inviting, now you're not inviting God, because the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit's already in there, but what you're doing is you're inviting that power of restoration. You're saying, Lord, I need some restoring going on in my life. So anytime you open up that communication with God, you're inviting that into your life. Whether you think so, whether you want to say so, whether you know it or not, you're inviting that into your life, because that's what brings us into a right standing with God through righteousness, through the righteousness of Christ. And it all happens because of our faith in Christ. So anytime that you go to pray, you're praying because you start out with faith. But, you know, sometimes during our prayer, whether they're short or long or whatever they're, but somewhere in the middle, we lose a little bit of faith because Satan's always there when you're trying to pray to God. And there's always that little bit of doubt in the back of your mind. So we're not in that right standing of righteousness with God. So this is where we need to be. We need to be that when we pray that we're, so I guess you'd have to ask yourself when you go to pray, how important is prayer in your life? How important is that prayer that you're getting ready to pray unto God? Well, one of the things that prayer does for us, first of all, it strengthens our relationship with God. So we have to understand that. It aligns our heart, our soul, our thoughts. It aligns all of those things with His will. And it brings to us a peace of mind that gets us away from all the worldly challenges and everything that's going on in our life. So if you can't see that when you're praying, then we need to pray more effectual and more fervently. And if we're praying and there's no peace of mind, something's wrong. So that's one of the things that we have to remember. So God wants to make sure that when we're talking to Him, we have a clear peace of mind. So that means prayer must be, or should be, it should be the one thing that is consistent in our life. It shouldn't be the one thing that is always a last resort. And a lot of times prayer is a last resort. Oh Lord, help me out of this. Well, why did you get into it? How did you get into it in the first place? Well, we're going to blame somebody else, but I can tell you we got into it because of our own choices that we make. But so prayer shouldn't be a last resort. Now, in the book of Philippians, let's go there for a minute. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Here's what he says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. So listen to this. He says, in everything by prayer. So let's put that together now. So what does in everything mean? If you're brushing your teeth, you should be what? Praying. That might seem trivial, but he says, in everything by prayer. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So boy, we got a lot to do now when we pray. So now when I pray, I have to be thankful. So when I'm praying for the person down the road, am I always thankful or am I just going, oh, Lord, they've got some problems. Help them. You know, they really deserve what they're getting, but help them anyhow. Anybody pray like that? Okay, so by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Well, let's go ahead and read 17 with that. And here comes the peace of mind again. He said, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So again, if we're praying, it should be with a peace of mind. If it's not with a peace of mind, then we need to back up a little bit and see what's going on in our prayer life. So the Word of God, it just doesn't challenge us, but it also encourages us to pray during every circumstance of our life. Not after, but during. So that means when something's going, you know, it's the end of the day. I forgot. I went through this earlier. I'm glad you helped me, or I think you helped me, or thank you for. See, we should be not afterwards, but during every circumstance in our life. Because if we're lacking that, then that means a lack of prayer means a lack of power to overcome whatever it is we're going through at that time. So we wonder sometimes, why does what we're going through kind of continue on or drag on? Because we don't think to take it to the Lord. So, and if you think about it, anything that you pray about or anything that's going on in your life, if you go back and you study, Christ does not ask us to do something that he didn't practice himself while he was here upon this earth. So every morning he got up, he prayed to the Father. All throughout the day, he prayed to the Father. In the evening, before they lay, he prayed to the Father. So it was all day long, so that things would continue to go, not according to our plan, but things would continue to go according to God's plan. And this all has to do with how much time, not only that we spend in prayer, but it also has to do with how much time we spend in the Word of God. That's what it's all about. So God wants us to focus upon Him, not upon the things of the world, but upon Him. So that means we have to be motivated, and our motivation, first and foremost in our life, should be to please God. That's what should be motivating me. How am I going to please God today? When something begins to happen in our life, how am I going to get through this? But it should be, how am I going to please God through this? So we have to kind of change. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work with us, then the Holy Spirit will put us on that right track. But a lot of times we follow after the old sin nature that we inherited from Adam, and all we're worried about is ourselves. How am I going to get through this? Well, it doesn't matter. It's how am I going to glorify God through this? He's going to bring me through it, but how is it going to glorify God? So that's one of the things that we have to remember. So we got to remember that it's not you or I that makes the decisions on how and when these things are going to happen. It's God. And He has a plan for how and when these things are going to take place in our life. So that means we must pray and seek after His will in every circumstance in our life. So let's go to Luke. And I just want to read the first four verses of chapter 11. And it's very familiar, but Christ gives an example concerning prayer. And He done this when He was when one of the disciples had asked Him a question about prayer. And Christ said, well, here's how you should pray. So in Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, or will you teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples? And He said unto them, when you pray, say," and when we recite this all the time as a prayer, it's actually instruction on how we should pray, but we use it as a prayer. But He says, "When we pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, so as in heaven, so as in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also," I want to say forgive us our trespasses, but in Luke it's a little different. "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted unto us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So when you begin to study the Lord's Prayer, there's seven things here that it shows you. The first three things focuses on glorifying God, and the remaining four focus upon not really our need, but our dependence, what we depend upon God for. So as you look down through there, you're going to find out it starts out with our adoration or our worship to the Lord. Then it's going to move on to God's purpose for us. What's His objective for us in our life? How do we surrender? Number three, how do we surrender to God? How our submission unto Him? Number four, when we move over to our dependency on Him, it's how He provides for us in our life. Number five is how he pardons us or forgives us through our confession. Number six, our requests that He wants us to make known unto Him. We ask for those things. And then, of course, the last one is how we're searching for God, the way that we seek for God, the things that He wants us to do in our life. So when we look at all of this and we begin to learn from these instructions that He gave His disciple, then we have to ask ourselves then, how adequate is my prayer life? Is it where that it should be with the Lord? Am I what doing what I should be? Do I acknowledge God? Do you always acknowledge God when we pray? We're praying to God, but do we always acknowledge Him? No, probably not. Acknowledging means giving Him some glory, worshiping Him first when we begin to pray. So do we acknowledge His characteristics, His attributes? He's a sovereign God. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. Do we recognize these things, or do we just ask for things, hoping that His will would be done, not asking that His will would be done? And do we pray? Are we thankful when we pray? Do we pray with thanksgiving in our heart? So our prayer life, in order for it to become adequate, then it what we desire must be what God desires for us. Now, we don't always pray that, because a lot of times what I desire is not what God desires. You can ask my wife. I desire pieces of equipment. She says God doesn't desire that for so it's not all. So we have to pray what God desires for us. So God knows we have physical needs. God knows we have spiritual needs. And the reason He knows this is because He has allowed these needs in our life. See, we don't think about that. But anything that now I'm not saying your wants, but your needs, the needs that you have in your life, God is the one that allowed that need. First of all, to see if you'll bring it to Him to supply that need. But He allowed that need so that we might come to Him and show how much we depend upon Him to live our life in Christ here upon this earth. This is what those needs are all about. So prayer is a unique privilege that has been given unto us, and only unto those who believe by faith and have accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So there's a uniqueness to our prayer life that we probably don't think about all the time. So let's go over in the book of 1 John real quick. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 11. And here's what he says. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is through His Son. So if you don't have a prayer life with God until you're saved. All right? Now, in the Bible, there's verses in there that talk about this. But you don't have a prayer life with God until you're saved. So he said, he that hath the Son then hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God doesn't have no life, doesn't have no communication. So our communication begins when we cry out to Lord by faith, believing, and we're saved. So, but other than that, we don't have that. So he said, these things have I written to you, that you, first of all, you believe upon the name of the Son of God, and then that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and then that ye may believe upon the name of the Son of God. So he gives you kind of the scenario there of how this has to work. And then he says in 14, he said, now that you have that, he said, this is the confidence now that we have. That this is confidence that God has given unto us. And listen to this. He said, the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, now I'll pay attention because we usually just stop right there. If we ask it, but he said, if we ask anything according to His will. Okay, we should all say that together. According to His will. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So if you're asking yourself sometime, I prayed, and I don't think the Lord's listening to me, or I don't think I've gotten an answer from the Lord, maybe you ought to back up and say, was it according to His will to begin with? Okay, was it according to His will? He heareth us. And He says, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Meaning, we're thankful, and we know that it was according to His will that He is going to take care of it. He's going to answer those prayers. So then prayer is important to everybody, because that's the only way that we can acknowledge God. That's the only way that we can be saved. But more importantly, it's So when sin, so without acknowledgement, let me put it this way, without acknowledgement, sinners cannot be born again without acknowledging God. All right? Now, with acknowledgement, as believers, we cannot remain in a close relationship with God without prayer. So that acknowledgement has to be there. So when the disciples listened to Christ giving them instructions on how to pray, when they were listening to that, what do you think the one thing was that came to mind when they were listening to him give the instruction? I'll tell you what came to mind, same thing that comes to mind with us. They realized how poorly their prayer life was. So when we begin to study and begin to understand these instructions that God gives us, then it's the same thing for us. We now realize how poorly our prayer life with God is. Now, when I say poorly, I'm not talking about, because you've heard people pray and you say, oh man, that guy can pray. Have you ever heard anybody pray like that? Well, that doesn't mean it was a good prayer. That just means the words that were coming out of his mouth impressed you or impressed me. So when I talk about how poorly, then I'm talking about the quality of our prayer life with God. It doesn't have to be a lot of fancy words. It just has to have quality, and quality comes when we pray according to the will of God. That's where this comes from. So we are ourselves daily in our prayer life, somewhere along the day, part of our prayer life should be the same, and it should be the same thing that the disciples had to say. We should say, Lord, teach us to pray, because there's never a time in our life that we cannot learn something about prayer, about our communication with God. So that, and this opportunity only comes through the Holy Spirit that indwells within us. So if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to ask God to teach us to pray. Sometimes we don't ask God to teach us to pray because we think, oh, I've been saved for 30 years. I know how to pray. I don't care if you've been saved for 100 years. You probably still don't know how to pray, because God is continually teaching us how to communicate with him. So in the book of Romans, chapter 8, here he gives you, I'm going to give you a couple verses here real quick about how we should pray. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, here's what he said. Likewise, the Spirit helps us with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, or how we should be praying. But he says the Spirit itself has to make intercessions for us. That's how we know what to pray or what we should be praying for in our life. And he says he does this because the Spirit searches the hearts. He knows what is the mind of our spirit, because he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. So, if we're living our life in the Spirit and in truth, then we're living a life that is led by God. And this is where he wants us to be. So the Holy Spirit speaks not just to us, but the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, because we have that. Since we make choices, sometimes we don't always listen to the Holy Spirit. We listen to that old spirit that's in there that we inherited from Adam. But the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, and so that we can communicate unto God through the righteousness that is given unto us by the Son, because the Holy Spirit wants to guide us so that we're always in obedience to the truth of God's word. So every time that we pray, and this is why it's very important to always, when we do get to sit down and spend time just in prayer with God, we should always do it with the word of God, because there's a lot of instances in the Bible and a lot of examples in the Bible when people prayed, they actually used the word of God to pray. They use scripture in their prayer. And this is what God wants us to do in our life. So if you just back up in Romans, in the same chapter, verse 16, here's what he says. He said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he said, if we're children, we're heirs. If we're heirs, then we're joint heirs. And if so be that we suffer with him, we might also be glorified together with him. So that means, so pay attention to this. Every situation in our life, every situation, every circumstance, every challenge, and you might say, well, this is just a little thing. I really don't need to bother God with it. Are you ever bothering God? No. Every situation in our life, no exception at all, calls for prayer. Okay, do we understand that? Doesn't matter what it is, it calls for prayer, and it calls for prayer during, not like most of us do, after, but you know, when you get done fumbling around trying to do something, then you say, okay, Lord, help me. But we should, when it starts to happen, we should, okay, Lord, I need your help. So during, and if we do this, then God's willing. He's willing. He's able to answer. But first of all, we have to approach him, and we have to approach him not begrudgingly, not sarcastically. We have to approach him faith believing. We have to truly believe in our heart that he's going to take care of this. Now, where do we learn this? We learn this from the Word of God. The many characteristics that he gives us concerning our prayer life, and he commands us. He tells us that we have to ask, we have to seek, and if we're going to do that, if we don't find it, then do we just give up and quit? No, we continue asking, we continue seeking. So these are the things, but it all has to start with humility, and it all has to start with asking for forgiveness, and it all has to start with persistently seeking after his strength and his power in our life, not our own. So, and the reason that he wants us to do this is so that he might help us overcome the temptations that we're going through. You know, when these things that come upon us, sometimes we call them challenges, sometimes we call them situations and circumstances, but they're all temptations. Because if we make the wrong choice, then we're tempted to go away from God and not go towards God. So they're all temptations. And when we come to God with these things, then we're showing him that we are willing to follow after his purpose. We're willing to follow after his plan. We're willing to follow after whatever it is that he has in store for us in our life. So in Hebrews, let me give you this last one and then we'll quit. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, here's what he says. Let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the throne. So what does boldly mean? It doesn't, when we think of boldly, sometimes it encourages worldly pride and arrogance, but that's not what it's talking about. It means come bold. So when we come boldly to God, it's not that we're going to stand and demand, because we don't do that. But it means when we come boldly to God, it means that we're coming with the faith that God has given unto us to talk to God about whatever it is that's going on in our life. That's boldly. That's what boldly means. So he said, when we come that way, he said, so that we may obtain his mercy and then we may find his grace to help in our time of need. So everything that we go to the Lord for is a time of need. Even if we're just thanking him for something, it's still our time of need that we must or need to be spending with him. So it's a time of need. So that means that as believers, that God is a lot of things to us in our life in Christ, but not without prayer and not without the truth of his word. That's how God can be what he is unto us, because without that, we'll never be able to discover the greatness of his righteousness that he has given unto us. So that means that we must pray boldly or faithfully or without fear of condemnation or without fear of the world. And we've got to rely upon him that he's going to provide to us, not exactly what we want, but he's going to provide unto us exactly what he has required for that situation in our life. And it's not always what we would think it should be, but it's what he knows it needs to be. So that means we come to God. When we come openly, we come honestly, and we're going to share everything with him. You know, people don't mind getting, I would say on the telephone, but nobody uses a telephone anymore. But Lord, it's sad. People get on Facebook and share everything. When they won't share it with God, they'll share it on Facebook. My advice would be social media. God gave us social media for a reason, and that was to glorify him. That wasn't to get on there and do whatever it is. We spend too much time on social media, and we're using it for the wrong reasons. So we share those things with God. Nobody else needs to know it. We share it with God. God takes care of it. If you want it to be known as a prayer request, then just share it as, I have something going on in my life, will you pray about it? I don't need to know what it is to pray about it. I just need to know you want somebody else to pray with you. So if you want to share with God. Share with him all of those fears, all of those failures, because he's the only one that has the ability to take care of it. So we share with God, knowing that and thanking him that he's going to accomplish whatever it is that we need in our life. The one thing that we do a lot of times when we share with God is we take it for granted. Lord, please take care of this. And then after, well, I hope he takes care of it. I told him about it. I hope he, what kind of prayer was that? We believe that he's going to take care of it. So we do not take our prayer life with God for granted. We do it with the understanding, knowing that it's a privilege for us to talk to the Lord. And it's a great privilege to know that when we talk to him, he'll listen and he'll respond in like manner. So prayer is communicating with God. It's not praying for everybody else around you to hear it. It's communicating with God, because that's how we develop our relationship with God. So there's one thing that we, and you should write this down. When I read this, it's a great little quote that somebody put out there, but he said, we must learn to worry about nothing and pray about everything. We're pretty good about worrying about everything and praying about nothing. We have it backwards. We must learn to worry about nothing, pray about everything, because that is what is well-pleasing unto God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can hide your word in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we can use it as a light for our pathway. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in prayer and have peace of mind, Heavenly Father, concerning all of the situations and circumstances and challenges that are going on, not just within our life, Lord, but within the world around us. Help us, Lord, to always bring those things to you, Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, to always look to you, Heavenly Father, for our leadership and our guidance. Help us, Lord, to always be an example of what our prayer life is with you to the world, Heavenly Father, so that our light might shine, that others may see it, Heavenly Father, may see you within us. We just pray this day as we leave this place today, Heavenly Father, that we'll continually be in communication with you, Heavenly Father, so that we may always be found doing those things that are pleasing unto thee. Once again, forgive us, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, Bible study will be over at Big Isaac. This will be the first Thursday night of the week, so Bible study will be over there. I forget the name of the lesson that we're on.
Something in baptism.
Yeah, has to do with something in baptism. Very good.
I'm smart.
Huh?
Good. In the Sunday school lesson this morning, Samuel, he thought it was actually a sin. He had prayed so much for the Israelites, he thought it was a sin
yeah.
He didn't pay for
them. Yeah, the Sunday school lesson was a pretty good lesson if you got the meaning of it out of it. But and that was one of the things that it did bring out, was that Samuel prayed, but he didn't know if he was doing right by praying or not, and God assured him that he was. So, okay, anything else that you know of? All right. And is next Sunday the first Sunday? Is that first Sunday?
Yeah.
So we'll be over at Big Isaac for church also next Sunday morning. So, all right.
Is that communion?
Huh?
Is that
yes, we'll be having
communion.
We'll be having communion next Sunday morning at Big Isaac. So, all right, anything else? Let's stand, praise the Lord 3 times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks for joining in on the phone.